What's going on, podcast land? If you ask my wife what I own more than anything, she will quickly tell you that it's t-shirts. And guess what? I'm about to add to that collection thanks to Faith Attire. Since 2012, Faith Attire has been stacking up an incredible collection of streetwear with a message. T-shirts, hats, baseball tees, the whole nine yards. Their excellence is displayed through their products, but their vision and purpose is even greater. Head on over to faithattire.co to browse their catalog and use the promo code NRP116 to get 15% off your order. That's NRP116. Faith Attire, apparel for the selfless.
What's up, everyone in podcast land? This is Brian.
And I'm Blake.
And we are from the Not Religious Podcast, here to talk to you about one of our sponsors, PillarOfHopeApparel.com.
All right, Brian, they got some shirts, they got some hats, they got phone cases, whatever you need. It's awesome.
And if you go right now and go to your cart, fill it up, put in the promo code NRP116, you'll get 10% off your order.
Jeez, 10%?
10%. That's PillarOfHopeApparel.com. Promo code NRP116.
Check them out. Is up, everybody.
Hello, everyone.
I am Blake.
And I am Brian.
And you are listening to the Not Religious Podcast.
Yes.
That you are, excuse me. We're back this week with another Easter-filled episode. Our final Easter episode.
Because you can only do so much.
Yeah, I don't know what we were thinking. But, you know, there was a lot of good reception for last week.
And you said that the week before.
And we got something the week before. We got a few reviews and messages. And it was like, hey, really enjoyed that. But even more for last week. So that was awesome. Just further proof that we're making a difference.
Oh, definitely.
Yeah. I mean, I had no question. But some people have questions. I say to those questions, shut up.
I've never met those people.
They won't meet you. But anyway, so... We're back this week. We're talking about worship music.
Yes.
For Easter. Very critical time.
Very critical time. Very critical piece of the puzzle.
Yes. But before we get into our conversation about worship music, I have a quick little news segment for everybody. Yes. Thank you. This just in. Stay alert, Marvel fans. Spoilers for how Avengers Endgame ultimately concludes have leaked online.
I saw this. Didn't they shut Reddit down or something?
They did, and I will get to that. So Marvel's Avengers Endgame hits cinemas in Australia on April 24th and comes to the United States on April 26th. So the leak comes out 10 days before the film's release. Spoilers are always a concern, but the profile is higher with Endgame considering the dramatic conclusion to Infinity War, where Thanos snaps... Spoiler alert. And if you haven't seen Infinity War by now...
You're late on that spoiler.
Just...
Thanos snaps. Spoiler alert!
He snaps. He could have done anything snapping. He could have snapped... A Kit Kat, for all we know.
Give me a break.
But spoiler alert, Thanos snapped his fingers and wiped out half of the galaxy. So there you go. In the time since the Endgame leak, the Marvel subreddit has gone on lockdown.
Half the universe, yep.
Not just the galaxy. The moderators have confirmed that this is temporary while they sift through posts and ensure that there's nothing that could ruin, the experience for eager fans. Quote, spoilers are bad. We strive to keep this community spoiler-free, and due to recent events, we must take these measures to ensure that, reads a post on the subreddit. Until we are more satisfied with our filter's ability to weed out the influx of new spoilers, all posts will be subject to approval. Wow. This shouldn't last too long. If your post is removed, it is not a spoiler. and not approved within a reasonable time, message one of the mods and we will help you out, yada, yada, yada. Directors Joe and Anthony Russo have also issued a response to the Avengers Endgame spoilers leak. In an open letter shared on Marvel Studios' official Instagram and Twitter accounts with the hashtag #DontSpoilTheEndgame, the duo said that they have worked tirelessly for the last 3 years with the sole intention of delivering a surprising and emotionally powerful conclusion to the Infinity Saga. Now, the Infinity Saga they are considering everything within the past 10 years to be the Infinity Saga, 20-something movies. They continued, because so many of you have invested your time, your hearts, and your souls into these stories, we're once again asking for your help. When you see Endgame in the coming weeks, please don't spoil it for others the same way you wouldn't want it spoiled for you. Remember, Thanos still demands your silence.
Yeah.
Intense. I think the people who do spoil it for others just because they get some kind of sick pleasure out of it.
Well, what are they talking about here? Are they talking about like walking out of the movie theater and being like, oh, this happened?
Yes.
Or are they talking about people posting stuff after seeing it or both? Fan theories?
Not fan theories, but seeing it and then ultimately, like, can you imagine?
Some people love that.
I know, and I don't understand it.
Yeah, it kind of pisses me off.
I don't understand it. But can you imagine if someone would have walked out of Infinity War opening night and just gone around the next day? You know, because it's the hardcore fans that go to see these things on Thursday nights.
You're right.
Like we're doing.
Like we are doing.
Like we've already pre-ordered our tickets. We're going open tonight.
Yes.
But can you imagine someone just walking around to the, you know, the fans that haven't seen it yet and would have been like, hey, Thanos gets all the stones and then he snaps his finger and then half of everyone on in the galaxy, in the universe, disappears and the movie ends.
Yeah.
Can you imagine?
Yeah, that would definitely rub me the wrong way.
2.5 hours of sitting through that movie and you already know how it's going to end would just make me mad.
Was there a big problem with that, with Infinity War?
I don't think so. I think enough people were understanding.
So I wonder why it's getting traffic right now.
I don't know.
Why are the Russo brothers so concerned with it right now?
I don't know. Because there's a bunch of sick people out there that would spoil it for everyone. So please don't do that. Don't be a douche.
Kind of people who enjoy DC movies.
Listen, we saw Shazam last night, and it was an amazing cinematic adventure.
Was it, though?
It was.
You like everything.
I don't like everything.
You like
the I didn't like Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
You shut your mouth.
Didn't like it.
Blasphemy.
I didn't like it. But I loved, you know, all the Avengers movies. I just couldn't get into Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Yeah. I don't know.
That's my proof is in the pudding that I don't love everything because there's so many tie-ins with the Avengers and I couldn't get into that show. But I love Shazam. That was awesome. We went to go see that last night, kind of had a date night, and it was awesome. We laughed the whole entire time.
Not you and I.
Not you and I.
No.
No. But if we had it.
You and your wife.
That'd have been okay.
Well, you said date night.
So. Yeah. Me and my lovely wife, we went to go see it, and she loved it, and I am starting to have a little bit more faith in the DC Extended Universe.
Got to have faith, faith, faith.
Just like George Michael said.
Yes.
Exactly. Okay.
Okay.
We had to take a quick break.
So we just had to cut the podcast, we're recording it again. Do you want to tell them why?
Yes, I'll tell them what happened. So I'm telling the story about seeing Shazam last night, and Brian's messing with his in-ears, and he goes to take one out, and he like, I'm not sure what the signal meant, but you just kept like, go on, keep going. I was like, okay, I'll keep talking. And so I kept going, and then you kept, like, pointing at your head. And I was like, well, okay. And then you cut it off, and Brian's got the little nubbin on the inside of the headphone, little rubber part stuck in his ear, in his ear canal. Like, and he's like, I need you to pull it out. And so he hands me some tweezers, and I go in there and pull it out. And it's not just, like, a normal little tiny.
It's conical.
Yeah.
It's like a cone.
It's like a good inch long, if not longer, just inside of his head. And I pull out and just wouldn't stop coming out. I was like, good Lord. But see, if we had a Twitch, we would have people who could have seen that on video. So yeah, that's in the works. Just heads up. Yeah. So anyway. All right. So we're moving on to our segment today. We're talking we're kind of wrapping up the whole Easter thing here. Worship music is very essential. And just kind of to lead into it, I've told Brian before, I don't think John Crist is that funny. I think there's some things that's funny. I like that he takes jabs, funny jabs, respectable jabs at the church as a whole in Christianity. Him as a person, I just don't think is that funny. But I came across a video on YouTube of his called Pastors on Easter Be Like. And it's pretty funny. Brian hasn't seen it, so I'm going to play it. It's about a minute and a half long. So here we go.
Okay, everybody, listen up. This is Easter. Shuttles and golf carts in the parking lot. Now, has everyone in here, staff or volunteer, shared our graphically designed Easter invitation on their personal Instagram? This is for the kingdom. Who is trimming these hedges? A youth intern? For heaven's sakes. No, we don't have ministry time. We do have a petting zoo outside, though. And connect cards. Do we have the right mixture of haze in the fog machine? I mean, we don't need new members, but did we get the rose petals in the visitor parking spaces? We are pro-Jesus and pro-Easter Bunny. Donuts, check. Coffee, check. Make sure we have gluten-free communion, fat-free communion, Whole30 communion, vegan communion, paleo communion, non-GMO communion. Honestly, everybody needs to keep their phones out because I will be saying some very tweetable quotes this morning. The Easter basket is full, but the tomb is empty. He can put your life back together when it is in pieces, and some of y'all are still focused on Reese's. We need more diversity up on that stage. This is Easter. No, the youth pastor cannot do announcements. What about that one minority guy that came one time? Can we get him to do announcements? Oh, we don't want any visitor to feel uncomfortable in any way at any time, but we will ask him to fill out a Connect card with their children's name and ages. I don't care what size the stage is, Becky. I need a rapper up there, a full choir, and six men dressed as Roman centurions. Why would you even ask about the worship set list? Is Jesus paid it all? Christ alone? Christ is risen. Can we get that other worship leader that's a little bit more attractive? This is the best great team we have. Who trained these people? For one Sunday, please, can you just not be weird? Can we put her at the auxiliary door? Quit your ministry. Move these people out of here. We got a service starting in 15 minutes. Make sure all the visitors know that they are under no pressure to give, okay? But we'd love to see them come back, and if they do come back, we're starting a series on giving next week.
Man,
that's good stuff.
The accuracy of that is on point. I love it. All right, so we had this idea for this week. We wanted to get our buddy Chris to come on, he's a worship leader, and talk about the preparation. There's a lot that goes on that goes into creating the worship set list for your church on Easter, because we've talked about, you know, the most popular day that people attend a church and visit a church. So there's a lot of blood, sweat, and tears that goes into it. We were going to ask Chris to come on and do this. Kind of was like, we saw the pressure that homeboy was under the other night. I was like, I don't know.
Yeah, he was. I don't know. I mean, and Chris is a pretty put together guy.
Yeah.
You know, and I think there's just something about this time of year that the pressure of getting things right is big.
Yeah.
It's big because it's the we've talked about it. It's, you're going to have the most butts in the seats, and you want everything to go off without a hitch. You truly, which I have no idea why I'm playing bass on Sunday. If he wants everything to go off without a hitch,
it's going to be awesome.
Yeah. But no, you could tell that he was, it's a stressful week.
Yeah.
Stressful week. And rightfully so. I mean, the pastor entrusts the worship leader to set the mood.
Yeah.
Set the tempo, set the entire service. That is, if you're doing a traditional service and not doing a program or play or something, you know, unconventional. We're talking just like a regular service or whatever. Right. The pressure is on, man.
Yeah.
The pressure is on.
Yeah, I think because you have so many visitors that are coming, you're either going to catch their attention or ruin the whole service for them. Because you're starting the whole thing. You're kind of getting people in the mindset and the heart for worship. And it, to visitors, I mean, they may or may not know some of these worship songs. So there's a lot that goes into that. Well, what do we play? How do we... Yeah, how do we tie it into the message, and how do we tie it into the theme of the day? You know, like it all needs to go together.
Yeah.
So there's, I know that he put a lot into this coming Sunday, and so the way he looked the other night, I was just like, yeah, I don't know. That might be way too much to have him try to come on, take time away from him prepping for that.
Yeah. Yeah. That was very selfish of us to think that we can
get him on.
Yeah, in 2 days he's going to be leading worship, and he's doing new. They're doing new things.
Yeah,
Easter Sunday with adding some elements and stuff. So I reached out to two buddies. One in Texas. You'll meet these guys.
Okay.
When we go to Texas this summer.
Okay.
Reached out to one of them. I said, hey, let me find it. I said, hey, what's your preparation? They're both worship leaders.
Okay.
Okay. Fairly large churches.
Mm-hmm.
One of them, they run, you know, close to 1,500 on a Sunday. The other one around 700 or 800. You know, hey, what's your preparation for the week of Easter? Is it just business as usual? Or is the heat on? And one of them answered back and he said, hey, I'm so glad you asked that. I'm expecting to hear this on the podcast this week. Okay.
Okay.
A little fool of yourself there, buddy. Aren't
you? Yep.
Yep. Anyhow. No, I love him. He's a good guy. He's a good guy. He said, no, the heat is on, just like the 80s song, just like the 80s song said it so well. This is the week where normally I put in anywhere from 25 to 30 office hours, when usually I only put in 10 to 15 office hours. The rest of my time is spent doing other things, but I'm actually in the office preparing for this, not to mention the things that I do spiritually to prepare for this. I'm so blessed to have a wonderful partner with my wife, who sits and prays and meditates with me for the upcoming Sunday service. So that was pretty.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then... All right. I asked him the same question, and he said, yeah, he said, you would think that it should be business as usual, but it's not. Easter is the most important day in the Christian religion. He said, this is where we celebrate the resurrection of Christ. Other people worship other dudes, and that's cool, but we're the only one that has one that was resurrected. You can go visit Muhammad's tomb. You can go visit Gandhi's tomb. You can go visit, and you just list a couple other guys here.
Right.
You can go visit their tombs, but you cannot visit the body of our risen Savior. So for that, I would say the pressure is on. Right. How do I eloquently convey to this group of people, some of which who only come on this day, that our Savior is risen, and he is risen for you? Man, he said, just talking about it, or just talking about it makes me start sweating.
Oh, whoops.
Whoops. So I guess people who take their job serious, really feel the pressure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they're trying out new things, and then the pressure of going to three services, you know, that's a, and kicking
that
off.
You're talking about Chris?
Yeah, Chris. Yeah. So the pressure of now going from 2 to 3 services. Chris, don't listen to this before Easter anyway.
Oh, God, no, don't.
No, yeah, save it for after. But going from 2 to 3 services, and then so that adds even more people that are going to be coming in to check this place out.
Yeah.
And setting the mood and setting the pace for how the rest of the service is going to go.
Not even that, the rest of the year.
And the rest of the year, yeah, because if they don't come back, you know, they're just one-time visitors. You know, how does this stick with them? Is there something that you're going to choose to play for Sunday morning that will stick with these people, even if they've never heard a praise and worship song ever in their entire life? But man, I really like that song. You know, that type of thing. I know there's a lot of that goes on.
Yeah, definitely.
A lot of prayer. Probably a lot of talking with the pastor. You know, there's a lot of that. You know, what's your message on? What's something that fits in there? And I came across something on, this is actually on Hillsong's website. And it's the top 5, actually it's the top 10 worship songs to play on Easter. And
are all 10 of them Hillsong songs?
No. Okay. They did top 5 non-Hillsong songs and then 5 Hillsong, Hillsong songs.
Okay.
But here's what I love. So, and why? So it's the top 10 songs and why they're so important for Easter. Number 1, Because He Lives, and it is, we can check that one off because we're going to be playing that Sunday. They have the Gaithers version listed in that, which is pretty painful.
We can face uncertain days.
Homeboy can sing, though.
They can, yeah.
Because He Lives.
That's where they lose me right
there.
I can face tomorrow.
Yeah, so that's not what we're doing. We're actually doing the David Crowder version, which is a little bit better. So
my Savior lives, because He lives, I can face tomorrow.
So yeah, that's a lot better.
Yeah, a lot better. What's next? Number 2.
Number 2 is Amazing Grace, My Chains Are Gone. So this is obviously,
Chris Tomlin.
Tomlin, yeah.
God.
That's what my heart to feel. And grace my fears relieved. How precious did that grace appear?
So at least it's kind of familiar with some people. And it's slightly changed up, and tempo's different.
I've been set free. My God, my
Savior. All right. But honestly, I've probably played that more times than I can count.
That version or the
that version? Yeah. I have played.
When did that come out?
I think I have played the My Chains Are Gone version more than I've played the actual original rendition of Amazing Grace.
The original.
Grace. Yeah.
It was like 1700s.
Yeah.
The original.
Yeah, the original, something like that. But people are familiar with it. And, you know, everyone knows Amazing Grace. It's just everyone knows that song. So it's a cool little spin. And I can see why a lot of people would want to do that one. But we were so off with the song, with the year.
No, I'm just looking at the Vivo. Vivo. That's how you say it, right?
Yeah.
Vivo?
Yeah. On YouTube.
Yeah.
Why is that the thumbnail for it?
I don't know.
Who is that?
I don't know.
He looks like he's from Pirates of the Caribbean. What is that?
Please, folks, go Google Chris Tomlin Amazing Grace. Please go do that for me. We'll stop and we'll let you pause. And
yeah, take Google this time to pause.
Because that is freaking hilarious. anyway, that says 2008.
Oh, wow. I didn't realize it was that long ago. Jeez. Anyway, number three, Forever, We Sing Hallelujah. This is also another. This is Carrie Job, someone else that Brian highly admires and follows on Pandora.
Yeah.
Religiously. No pun intended. We are playing this one Sunday, so we're, you know, Chris, you're doing good so far. I can,
The Son of God was laid.
This one punches, man. You get it going. It's something. So yeah, we're doing that one. That one can get really good and powerful, and the dynamics are really awesome. So I never get tired of playing that one. That one's good. Number four, Here I Am to Worship.
Yeah.
Now I came across a few different versions of this one.
Isn't this what we said? No, this is not. Never mind.
Yeah. with John Zhao. Yeah. No, that's not this one. No, but this one is also another. Now, Hillsong has a version of this, but I think they're probably referring to Chris Tomlin or Passion or something. So that's the one that I'm going to play.
You're my God. You're altogether lovely, altogether worthy, altogether to me.
It's also made now.
Oh gosh, put him on the map, man.
King of all days, oh so highly exalted, glorious in heaven above.
Yep. Now, I think it was called Wow.
Oh, is it Wow?
Wow. Now it probably stands for something. Look up, and it's probably. It probably stands for something.
Okay.
And while you do that, I'm gonna do you a favor and play the Jeremy Camp version.
Oh, thank you for doing that.
Here I Am to Worship. Jeremy Camp, the Christian music scene's answer to Eddie Vedder.
Didn't see you going there with that.
You didn't?
One. No.
Oh, man. I can't now. Stand. Can you hear it, though?
No. Can I hear it?
Here I am. Oh, yeah. I can hear that. Sure. And Scott Stapp, even though Scott Stapp was already Christian enough for everybody.
That's right.
And then finally, number five, another one of Brian's absolute favorites. This is Amazing Grace by Phil Wickham.
I don't mind. We've played this so many times. I don't mind it.
I have played this song more times than I can count too.
I like this, actually.
This is Amazing Grace.
I do really like the Bethel version of it, though. There's this really cool.
Yeah, the Bethel one's better than this.
Yes. Sorry, Phil.
I mean, if he would just get a shirt with a neck that fits, that's all that.
Like, wait, his V-neck is like all the way down to his belly button.
Right.
All right. Yeah, that's another one that I wouldn't mind retiring for having to play it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's a lot.
I can't get anything on the now.
Really? No. I could have sworn it stood for something. The WOW worship. It was something like that.
I can't find anything.
Are you curious as to what their other top five Hillsong songs, just yes. so they can do their own plug?
Yeah.
So number one would be What a Beautiful Name.
What a beautiful name it is. Nothing compares to this. What a beautiful name.
I love the song.
It's great. It sounds really sad, though.
It's not a minor chord. I don't know why it sounds sad.
I think there's a trend with a lot of worship music. It just sounds sad. Especially Elevation. I've always thought they were really just sad sounding.
Well, Lee listens to, when she turns on Pandora, it's Hillsong.
Yeah.
So it's freaking worship music 24/7. So like when we're driving somewhere, for a long distance, she's wanting to play her Pandora. I'm like, you've got to put on something else because I'm about to fall asleep.
What a beautiful,
right?
And like right. the, right.
But I mean, I love it for sure. what it's meant for.
Yeah, absolutely. Oh, Praise the Name.
Okay. I don't think I've ever heard this.
Mm-hmm. You have. I think we might have played it. I've played it. And drenched in
tears, they laid him down. Oh, yeah.
You know what I'm talking about.
It's a pretty song.
It is. This one's really good. And it's got, it definitely jumps up and down, up and down, up and down, up and down. So,
it's a pretty one.
So, I like that one a lot. Number three that they have on here was actually originally on the list. Man of Sorrows. This one's really good.
Yeah.
The very dynamics well written. In that one, yeah, very, very good. And I had never heard it before until we started playing it. So that's a good one.
That's four.
Number four is Cornerstone, which a lot more people are familiar with this one because it recently made a surge on.
Not my favorite, though.
K-Love. It's not my favorite either. Then Jesus' blood and righteousness. Did not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly trust in Jesus' name. Come on. Christ alone, cornerstone, weak made strong, insane is love, through the storm, he. Here's what people love. They love the riff. Ooh.
That's the K-Love version.
Yeah, that's the K-Love version. I'm telling you. They love the riff. And finally, the heavy hitter. The one that everybody in the entire world knows, Mighty to Save. It's compassion, a love that's never been. But Brian, this is what I want you to do. I want you to go to YouTube right now and look up Mighty to Save dance cover. And I'm going to post a link to this on our Facebook so people can watch it so they can enjoy this too. And, you know, listen, if it's wrong of me to laugh at this guy, then I don't want to be right.
which one am
I? Is he wearing a yellow jacket?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. So I want you to play that right now, and I want to see your genuine reaction to it.
Okay. How's everybody doing tonight? Hey, Right. My name is Michael Vigilante.
You probably skipped forward. He probably talks real bit.
God honor with these two songs.
Vigilante. Song
is that is not that's your his real name.
Yeah, I don't know if that's a stage name or not. That, is that your Christian name, sir?
God has a special plan for everyone in this room if you follow his plan. He loves you. He created you. And he wants to use you in his kingdom.
He's got some.
What am I watching?
Oh my Lord, yes! Get it!
All my fears and failures, fill my
oh my gosh.
I give my life to follow everything I believe in.
Do they clap? I gotta get to the end.
Yeah, they do. Heck yeah, man. Man, that
I brought it.
Dude, he killed it.
He did.
He killed it. He did such
Mike
a good job.
Drop.
So, Michael Vigilante.
That's not his real name.
If you guys haven't seen that video, he's got a lot of MJ moves going on.
Vigilante the third.
Yeah, the third. There's been a few of those. It's wow. a long family of vigilantes.
Wow.
Dancing vigilantes.
That was a treat.
Yeah. So... There's your top 10 worship songs for Easter. Chris had like three of those picked out. So
nailed it.
Yeah, he nailed it. He did a good. I'm sure he didn't consult that website at all or anything. So
nailed it.
Yeah, did a good job. So there's the importance of kind of, and I know we poked fun and stuff like that, but in all seriousness, this time is so crucial. So how do you gather, you know, what you're going to pick out? It's a lot of prayer and preparation and things like that. And I think for what Chris picked out for, and I'm sure that, you know, there's other hands that, you know, that are in there throwing around ideas and putting this whole thing together. But I think they did a good job of getting some stuff together.
Yeah.
For this week.
Yeah, definitely. You know, There's also a lot of songs that, I don't know, shouldn't be played.
Yeah, no, definitely not.
At Easter, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, there's a lot that probably are misguided or whatever. And you should really, I don't know. You can tell when something's thrown together.
Yeah.
I think that's what I'm trying to get at.
Yeah.
You're playing like Oceans or something at Easter. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like there's just something thrown together.
Yeah. It's not whatever is the most popular because it may not resonate the same way as other ones do.
Right. Yeah.
Oceans is a great song, but I think I could go a few years without hearing it.
Yeah.
Because everyone played Oceans. What do you do?
What do you do? Yeah.
I think he did a great job of getting all that.
Yeah.
Getting all that ready for Sunday.
Good stuff.
I came across something on proclaimlifeonline.com.
Okay.
It's just a quote, and I thought it works well with what we're talking about this week. So, how basic yet how profound. Keeping it simple helps us focus on our Savior. Let's center around the resurrection power of Jesus. Let's lead the church and let newcomers be impressed not by our swagger, but by our Savior. And let's lead mostly familiar songs such that regular attenders can pour their hearts out and the new folks can wonder who this Jesus is they're singing so passionately. There's a lot of good points in there. You want something that's familiar with your church. And maybe with a church crowd if they're visiting, you know, if they're out from out of town, they're visiting their parents or something, and they're going to Easter as a family, something that everybody can feel comfortable enough worshiping with, something that's probably easy enough to pick up on, where newcomers that maybe don't know that song, hey, the words are already on the screen.
Yeah.
So, you know, there's your words. Melody's pretty simple. Get people involved. For me, music is a huge deal. It's been a focal point for a majority of my life. So I take it very seriously whenever, you know, I'm up there playing drums for worship. So anytime I get to be a part of that is a huge blessing and a huge honor to do. And I'm very thankful and grateful that I was asked to play for Easter. So that's going to be really good. But I love being a part of it where it's really centered around those new people coming in.
Yeah.
And how to make them feel comfortable and help them to focus on this Jesus that we're worshiping.
Yeah. What do you think about, like you went to, you've been to that one church that I forget the denomination, Ann and Becca's home church.
Yes. Episcopalian.
Episcopalian. Which, you know, is much like a Catholic church.
Yeah.
Well, they're probably not going to be singing, you know, the Hillsong.
No.
Or they're, you know, or Bethel or whatever these top five songs are. They're traditionally hymns or even an older traditional Baptist church or something like that.
Yeah.
That might just have a pianist and or organist and, you know, do you feel like they're missing? Do you feel like they're missing the mark? I mean, honestly.
It's tough to answer because I didn't grow up in that type of church.
Okay, so you didn't grow up in that type of church.
Yeah.
You're a visitor there on Easter Sunday, and they break out the, you know, old hymnal.
Yeah.
You know, turn to page 128.
Yeah.
And this is what we're going to sing from.
Yeah.
And everything is themed that. The message is on point and on fire, and they got real wine at communion, so you got a little buzz going.
No.
You know what I'm saying? But you know, the message is great. The atmosphere is great. The seats are comfortable. Mm-hmm. But they're singing out of the hymnal.
It doesn't do anything for
me. What's your impression?
Yeah, it doesn't do anything for me. Not that there's anything wrong with it at all.
No, of course not. But I mean, I want to
For me, it doesn't.
Is.
No, because I have, you know, I've grown up with relatively modern worship songs that I connect to, that I've been a part of, that I play drums for. I have a connection with. So reading or singing from the old Redback hymnal doesn't really do a lot for me. Now, there's some songs in, like, old hymns that are amazing that I've also grown up hearing and just, you know, it's part of church and, yeah, it's whatever. But sometimes they hit you differently depending on maybe your circumstance at that time. And I've heard Amazing Grace a million times, but I remember a few years ago, one day I just thought about the words in Amazing Grace. And I was like, wow. And it gives you chills, you know?
Yeah.
So I think even for an Episcopalian who's probably visiting, you know, a non-denominational church that's very modern and kind of more upbeat with their worship music and stuff like that. And it probably doesn't sit the same way with them either because they're like, nah, this doesn't do anything for me. That's fine.
Mm-hmm.
So now as far as like a visitor, you know, who has never attended any church, probably going to an Episcopalian church is probably like, what's happening?
Yeah. You know? Yeah.
I mean, I had that reaction.
When you were there?
When I was there, yeah. And I kind of knew what was supposed to happen. So
yeah, I guess, and because I've been a part of, you know, Catholic services and stuff, and I knew what to expect when we went to that Episcopalian church or whatever. But yeah, I think it just opens up a broader, I know to each their own, and as long as they're getting fed and as long as they're building a relationship with God, you know, it doesn't matter. At the same time, could the question be asked that they're missing out?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Because here we are talking about how integral, what an integral part of church the worship is. Mm-hmm. And I know there's other ways to worship, but let's have tunnel vision here, and let's just talk about
to
this.
To the nitty-gritty.
Yeah. What's this tunnel vision? We're not, I know all the things that if you listen, you're going to be like, oh, but to each believer, it's different.
Yeah.
I know all of that, okay?
Yeah.
We're going into this knowing all of this stuff, but I want to ask the question. Mm-hmm. Are they missing? Are they missing out? Are they missing a portion of what God has for them? Again, I know it might not work for them or whatever, okay? But are they missing out on an aspect of what they could have?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Because here we are talking about how important worship is.
Mm-hmm.
And when we opened the show, we talked about how it sets the mood and it sets the pace and it sets the, and when I say mood, you know, the spiritual atmosphere is what I mean when I say mood.
Yeah.
It ushers in the presence or however you want to term it. Are they missing out? Could it be done differently?
Mm.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And I'm not saying they should change it. I'm just, let's just ask the question.
Yeah.
Let's just ask.
Yeah.
Do you think they're missing out?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I do.
Okay.
Looking at the day and age that we live in, I think that you have to take that into consideration. If I, and again, like you said, I get it. Everything is different. It's fine. I'm not dogging anybody. You know, my cousin Vinny off the street, and you bring him into a church service. What's going to hit home with him? Never been to a church service ever before in his life. Or maybe has, but didn't have a good experience with it.
Sure.
You know, that you have to take that into consideration too. Some people don't have a good experience with church. It's really important to try to make people feel as comfortable as possible, create or eliminate as many distractions as possible. And some people will argue that and be like, well, you know, you shouldn't focus on the sound or how you look or what you play. Just get up there and do it like any other. No, this is important. This is key. This is a very important day. Eliminate as many distractions as possible.
Let's talk about that for a second.
Yeah.
Let's talk about and how you look.
Yeah.
If you're up there leading worship, how you look. You have people who say it doesn't matter.
Mm-hmm.
It matters.
It does. It very much matters.
It matters. If you are disheveled and unkept and you look like you just crawled out of the woods and you're going to, it's a distraction.
Yeah.
It is a huge distraction.
Yeah.
There is a trust factor in letting someone be in charge of setting that atmosphere, entering into the presence of God, whatever you want to call it. There's a trust factor. And if the Unabomber is up there, you know what I'm saying? If someone's up there who looks like they don't take care of themselves.
Right.
Are you going to trust them in letting go and being vulnerable and leading you in music?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Okay. So it's how you look. Let's talk about the sound for a second.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. It shouldn't matter how it sounds. We should say
you can make a joyful noise.
Yeah. You make it. You can
even
make
with
it,
feedback.
If you're a willing vessel, you know, you should be able to be up on stage leading worship.
Yeah.
I completely disagree.
Yeah.
And it just goes back to musical theory. Music resonates on so many different levels with who you are as a human being.
Yeah.
The sound and the pitches and the frequency that music and singing make, they resonate inside of a human body and they evoke emotion. There's so many different, that's why you have major and minor keys. That's why certain frequencies make people feel calm and at ease and let you sleep. Yes. White noise.
Yes.
You know, take all that into account. So if you're just setting up a PA system, you have the Unabomber up there. You haven't checked anything. His guitar's
who also looks like Weird Al.
Right, right. His guitar's not in tune. Yeah. There's feedback all over the place. And he sings everything sharp.
Yeah.
Like everything is just crazy sharp.
Yeah.
And oftentimes not in key.
Mm-hmm.
Those things matter.
Yes.
Those things matter. And no, I don't believe that any willing vessel should take part in or have the responsibility of leading worship or leading, you know, any kind of structured worship experience that is at a church. There should be standards.
Yeah.
There should be. What was the other one you said? You said sound, looks. Was there something else? No.
There was. I already forgot it. Oh. A big one is how you look and how everything sounds. And
right. I'm not saying everyone has to be in skinny jeans and look like.
But here's another thing, too. You need to try to consider. This sounds super douchey. Okay.
Let it sound.
Bear with me, though.
Mm-hmm.
Listen to my logic here. If you look, and I'm not saying skinny jeans, but if you look across the worship team and they're wearing pretty neutral stuff, maybe it's casual jeans and a t-shirt, mm-hmm. maybe some Chucks or something. And you walk up on stage in a bright pink three-piece suit, where is everybody's eyes going to go to?
Huge distraction.
Exactly. Huge you look distraction. Like a goofball.
Right. That doesn't sound douchey at all. Okay. I don't think.
So but that's what I mean. Mm-hmm. Eliminate the distraction. So sure. If everyone is comfortable and in neutral, you know, lounge wear, sure. You know, go for it. That I think try to stay along those lines. Eliminate those distractions. You're not up there to be seen, but you're being seen.
Right.
So
right,
take right. that into consideration. Now, I have no room to talk because my shirt for Easter is very colorful.
Very loud.
And very loud, but I'm in a drum cage. So you can't see me anyway. but no, you know what I mean? Like if something like that stands out, it's taking the center off of the worship. And all people are going to talk about when they leave that church service is not about the message of Jesus dying on the cross for you. And to save you, they're talking about, did you see the one guy up there in the three-piece, you know, bright pink suit? That's hilarious.
And so apply that to standing up.
Yeah.
Grabbing your hymnal.
Yeah.
Everyone's monotone singing together to the organ.
Does nothing for me.
Does nothing for me.
Being honest, does nothing for me.
I consider that a distraction.
Right. And that's for us.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm just talking about us.
Yeah, and that's just us. Another thing that I find distracting is when they just let anybody lead worship.
Yeah.
If someone's flat, it really resonates with people who take music very seriously, like we do.
Yeah.
And we've been to things where people were either singing flat, or you can tell that one of the guitars is out of tune, or maybe the drummer is just a little extra. You're like, oh man, bring it back some, man. That's a distraction. That's all I'm focusing on is you're going George of the Jungle on your toms right now.
Yeah. And anytime we've ever been anywhere and that's happened,
we make eye contact and immediately.
Like, oof. Like, ouch. Like, oof.
Have you seen the video of the lady with the tiny little splash cymbals?
Mm-hmm.
And she's just going ham?
Yeah.
Why did anyone let her get up there and do that?
I don't know. Why does anyone let someone play the conga behind a drum? I don't
know.
That
doesn't make sense.
I don't know.
Doesn't make sense.
I mean, and decisions are decisions. And
sure.
Whatever.
Yeah.
But I think, I don't know. I think this part of it especially we're talking about Easter, so dang important.
Yeah.
So important. And I just, sometimes I feel like the hymnal singing, organ playing, or they're missing something. I just want them to have it. But at the same time, they might not want it. Right? Yeah. They might not need it like how we need it, because we are musical people, or we enjoy music and we're involved in it. So we need that, that experience to help build our relationship with God. Some people might just not need it.
And that's fine.
Yeah, that's great.
Whatever.
Yeah.
Cool. Oh, one thing that I noticed the other night when we were practicing, there's a video that they want to play on Sunday. Mm-hmm. And it's a really cool, they played a similar video, the same guy that made the video. They played it around Christmas. Mm-hmm. And it kind of led into one of the songs that was being played. So this video is a...
Let me...
Yes.
Mention something right there.
Mention.
The thought of the music in the video.
Right.
Is in this key.
That's what I was going to say. That's what I was going to say. So the video is a big part of setting up the sermon. So, and it's really cool. The video is really neat looking, and it's powerful. And they went so far as to say, we're going to do this song in this key because that's what key the song is playing in the video. Like that is crazy. People don't think about that kind of stuff. Right,
because think about the power of that video. You just said it's a powerful, awesome video. It's in that key.
Yeah.
So carrying, because right after that it is music, carrying that key over into the music, people are going to resonate with the power of the video and recognize that those two things are connected, and the power of the video is going to be able to transfer into the power of the song.
Yes. It's wild.
You're right.
I love it. It's so there's thought and effort that's put into what's going on.
Yeah.
And I commend everyone that's had a part of that. And thank you for letting me be a part of that. So love it. Super excited.
You've been all over Chris's junk today with compliments.
Well, listen, if by chance he does listen to this before Easter, I don't want him to freak him out. I want him to know.
This became a...
We love you, Chris.
You have a man crush. Okay.
Maybe a little bit, okay? Get off my junk.
Okay.
So, but if he does listen to this before Sunday, I don't want him to freak him out. I don't want this to freak him out. I want him to be like, okay, it is appreciated.
Yeah, and I think what we're getting at with all the Chris talk is he's doing a good job. He's done a good job preparing for Easter. All of his stress and worry, there's going to be fruit.
Yeah, the fact that he is stressing about it shows that he cares, you know?
Yeah.
So more power to you, bud.
Yeah, and if the Catholic and the Episcopal churches could just get a Chris.
That's what everyone needs.
Or the Baptist churches.
Just get you a Chris.
I say Baptist. I don't know. I've never been to like one of those old school Baptist churches that just read from the, or sing from the hymnal or whatever. I hear it's pretty staunchy though. Like it's just very, but I've never been, so I shouldn't judge.
Don't judge, Brian.
Judge not.
Do you have anything else that you'd like to add?
No, I think that pretty much covers it.
Yeah.
Worship is such a huge part of church, and Easter's such a big, big, big day for the church,
right,
for the Big C Church. So, I think we talked about how important the worship is and just how it's not something to be taken lightly. And it's not something to be trifled with. I think it's very, very, very important. And when taken seriously, the fruit of that is tremendous.
Yeah. And you know, when we were kind of visiting churches and hopping around for a while, that was a key part.
Yeah.
For us, definitely for me and Allie. Mm-hmm. How was the worship? The worship was okay. The service was good. The sermon was good. And I like the preacher and worship's okay. That's big for us.
That's big for you guys.
Like we,
We're musical people.
We're musical people. We really want the worship. I'm not saying let's make it extravagant, but how is it? You know, we visited a church that it was really nothing but just, you know, three people up on stage with an acoustic guitar and a keyboard, but it was good.
Yeah.
Very good.
Right.
And definitely, what's the word that I'm looking for?
Satisfying?
No. What's the word?
I don't know.
Not ordained.
Anointed.
Anointed. That's the word I was looking for.
See, that's why I'm a minister.
The worship was very anointed.
Yeah.
And you could tell. And so it was like, okay, this is good.
Yeah, you don't need 13 people on stage. Like you said, when you guys were going to, I forget the name of it, but when you were going to, it was a small church.
Yeah.
Like you said, to have three or four people up on stage, mm-hmm. we visited there.
Yeah.
And like you said, very, very anointed. Very, I mean, I could get something out of that. Like I felt fed, or the ability to let myself get fed.
Yeah.
Because of that, you know?
Absolutely. It's a big part. And some people will say, well, I don't really care about the worship, but the sermon was good. That's great.
That's awesome.
For you. Mm. Didn't work for me. You know, that type of thing. So to each their own. Yeah. You got someone who's a little bit more musically inclined who comes in there that's maybe played in, you know, numerous bands for years, but never really went to church. The worship is going to be essential to them.
Yeah.
You know, it might hit home with them right away, even if the service doesn't. Like,
right.
How did that worship go? So a lot of pressure.
Yeah.
I feel for him. I wish we could have had him on, but Chris, you're doing a fine job.
Yeah. You're okay.
You're okay. You're good, bud.
You're good, buddy. You're good.
Well, speaking of music.
What are you listening to?
What are you listening to? You're going to start it.
I always start.
You always start it.
So last week I did Social Club Misfits. Mm-hmm. This is another track off of their latest EP. It's called Up. UP.
UP.
Yeah. I've been down for too long, gotta run it up, pulling up in that vroom vroom like a monster truck. Woo. Yeah, came from the bottom, so you know what's up.
You know what's up.
Better check the score, numbers going up. When I'm gone, that's LeBron swerving every question, asking where I'm from. They should know, that's that 305, that's that 561, that's that 954, headed out the door, now I gotta go. Peace, I remember when I used to practice raps and call them freestyles. Used to wanna fit in, now I'm happy being me now. Now they email Mr. Santiago when they reach out. Back up on my feet, can't let my team down. Oh yeah, got the whole bag, got a toe tag, every verse for the whole.
I just love how it's like, you know, 16 into it, and then the beat drops.
Right. Poof, I love it.
Digga, digga, poof, like, oh, that's great.
Oh, man. I don't think that's released yet, has it? I don't think it's officially out. Maybe it is. I don't know. I could be wrong about it. It's on Spotify? Yeah. Okay, so maybe it is out. I like it.
Let me ask you something real quick. All right, so growing up, I had all kinds of good music.
Yeah.
Rock music.
Yes.
Rock and roll, whatever you want to call it.
Mm-hmm.
Alternative. I had a lot of good music.
Yes.
And hip hop. But let's focus on rock and stuff like that.
Yeah.
You growing up, a lot of good music.
Yes.
Think about what came out of your generation.
Lord,
you know?
Yes.
This generation right now, that's 14, 15, 16.
Mm-hmm.
What do they have? Nothing but hip hop.
Yeah.
Nothing but rap.
Yeah. Honestly.
There is no good rock music coming out.
Mm-mm.
Can you think of any?
It's so extreme.
Give me a Blink 182 group right now.
Yeah. It's hard to come by.
Give me your Nirvana right now.
It's hard to find bands like that that haven't been around for
that's what I'm saying.
15 years.
There's nothing that's that's new and relevant to this generation.
No.
These 15, 16, these teenagers right now, there's nothing.
There's really no bands.
That's
either.
What I'm saying.
Like it's everyone in your generation especially, but in mine too, started out as a group and then went solo.
Right.
Everyone's just solo now.
Right.
And I think that's really, honestly, I think that's a selfish thing.
I think it is too.
It's more money for me. Right. I don't split it up between three or four different people. It's all going to me. So that's why you have SoundCloud rappers. And
think about the bands in both our generations.
Yeah.
The bands who disbanded and did solo things. How many artists came out of those bands?
Oh, yeah.
Three, four guys mm-hmm. taking on a solo career and being successful.
Even guys like Andy Mineo started out in a group. It was a group. Him, and if you don't know that, do your research. Robot Dave. But yeah, him and Lecrae and they all started out as a group, disbanded, and kind of did their own thing.
But honestly, give me a band that's relevant right now.
People would say Imagine Dragons.
No. No.
But I mean,
No.
Yeah. But even then, they've been around for a number of years. Yeah.
Right. Even One Republic.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
Doesn't count.
No, it just doesn't
give
work
me something that is current to these guys. When you were 15 or 16 years old, how many bands were
everywhere? And what's crazy and what makes me feel continuously old is all that music that I listened to in high school. All those guys are doing 10-year, 15-year anniversary tours of their albums remember going to buy at FYE.
Right.
Buying the actual CD and taking it home and opening it up and reading the track listing and the thank yous and who produced what.
The only people producing anything right now, hip-hop, R&B, rap.
Yep.
The only
That's
thing.
That's it. Even your country nowadays is
going
hip-hop.
Hip-hop.
Yeah, I know it.
Trap country music. What are you listening to?
All right, so I went with As I Lay Dying this week.
Is that in remembrance of Adam?
Adam, we miss you, bud. I don't know if he ever, he's not dead. He just moved away.
He just moved to DC.
Yeah. So made a new friend. Turns out we love the same bands, and he just saw As I Lay Dying in Columbia a few weeks ago. So.
And now he moved away.
And then he moved away. Sucks. I told him about the podcast. I don't know if he's listened to it yet, Adam, we miss you already, and I'm going to play an As I Lay Dying song for you. They released a new single a few days ago, and it's good. I just hadn't listened to it as much. But the single they released last year, kind of towards the end of the year, I think, it definitely is a heavy hitter. I'm going to play that for you real quick. Final breakdown is so good. I just broke everything in this room. I just flipped everything over. I punched every wall in here, set everything on fire because that song hits so hard.
Heavy hitter. Do you listen to that when you work out?
I do. I do like to listen to a lot of As I Lay Dying and bands like that. So I've discovered a lot of like grindcore. And it is just intense. It's grindcore is just.
What is that?
It is so intense, man.
I haven't gotten on that train.
You're not on the grindcore train?
No.
No. that type of stuff.
Okay.
So I love listening to that at the gym just because it's some of it is obnoxious, but you know, it's just something you kind of lose yourself in when you're working out. You don't really think about it. I like it.
Yeah. Good for you.
Good for me.
No, I just don't know if I can get behind the I don't know, vocal stuff.
Yeah, it's a little much.
Yeah.
I get it.
If it's more sounds than singing, I don't know if I can.
Yeah, the musicians are amazing, but yeah, the vocals right. are horrible.
Right.
All right. Well, that's all I got.
Okay.
That's all I got. So
that's all I got.
Thank you guys so much for listening to the Not Religious Podcast. You can find us on the Twitter, on the Facebook, and on the Instagram. All you have to do is just search Not Religious Podcast. Whatever platform you're listening to us on, we very much appreciate it. If you're able to leave a review and a rating, please do. That helps us get noticed and helps this thing grow even bigger than it already is. So
we're already at like almost 10,000.
I know. We're getting there.
It's crazy.
Creeping up on 10,000. It's wild, dude.
Boom.
And we are also a part of the Coming Right Up Network, and you can catch us on comingrightup.org every Sunday at 5:30 p.m. And while you're there, go ahead and check out the rest of the shows that are on the network because they're pretty dang good.
Don't forget to check out our sponsors.
Yes.
Go to their websites and use our promo codes mm-hmm. to get a discount.
Absolutely. There's some sweet stuff on those websites. We were looking... So we've got a little gig coming up, and I was like, you know what? I think I'm gonna get me a new tank top because we're playing outside.
Some gear from our sponsors.
Exactly.
Definitely.
Looking for a tank top. So.
Yeah.
All right. Thanks, you guys.
Be on the lookout for Snapchat filters.
Yes.
Snapchat be nice to filters. One another.
Yeah, and the Twitch thing. We're working on that as well. Yeah. So it's gonna be awesome. But yeah, be nice to one another. Like Brian said, don't be a jerk. Okay. Bye. Hey guys, this is Blake.
And I'm Brian.
And we're here to tell you about another great sponsor of the Not Religious Podcast, and that is The Found Sheep. If you head on over to thefoundsheep.net right now, you can check out their great collection of hats, beanies, shirts, sweatshirts, things like that. Their hats are especially, especially dope. Am I right, Brian?
You are right on
point. That's right. And why don't you go ahead and tell them about their outreach there?
Yeah, so everything that they create is designed to point souls to Jesus and to remind believers that he is our good shepherd. Man, goodness. They give 10% of all of their profits to the local church, and another 10% provides outreach to people who serve in need all around the world.
Well, I'll be doggone.
That's right.
That's awesome.
An apparel company with a mission.
That's exactly right. Go check out their stuff. They got really neat stuff. And we also have a neat little promo code for all of our listeners today.
That's
Brian,
right.
What's that promo code?
If you type in not religious, that's not religious in all caps, after you fill your little goodie basket up with all of your merch, guess what? You'll get 10% off.
Woo! Heck yeah, dude.
That's just for our listeners. So thank you guys. Go ahead and check them out on the Instagrams and the Facebooks and help support the foundsheep.net.